So I'm excited this morning, and those two young men that prayed, Etienne and Ben Folcher. I thank God for men like yourselves. I don't know your story, and when I came here that morning, we had the handover service. Quite a thing moving to another city, and people don't know you, and it's just radical. Every insecurity inside of someone comes out. But when I saw you standing in the front here with hundreds of people in the hall and you didn't care who was next to you, behind you, you worshiped Jesus radically. You put such courage in my heart. And I want to thank you and honor you. So keep doing it. Keep standing in the front, leading us in worship. Etienne, you came into my house with Stu and some guys, and there's just you've got such a sweet presence of Jesus on your life. You carry a gentle spirit, a servant spirit that is very unique to this world, and honestly is a sign and a wonder to a world that doesn't know it. So we thank God for the Folcher brothers today. I chatted to Jerry after church last week. And Jerry said to me after about 35 minutes I'd been speaking, he said he was going to have to SMS his family because Mark told us I was going to preach on the Lord's Prayer and I was only on Our Father about 35 minutes. So he's going to have to cancel lunch. So we're going to take a little bit longer, Jerry. We're not going to try to do it all in 1 week. Is that all right? I was preparing yesterday. My little boy Judah came to me and we just had a moment. We were talking. I said, what shall I tell God's people tomorrow, boy? So he's like, he gets all coy and he says, the Lion of Judah. So he likes that one because his name's Judah. So I said, what shall I tell them about the Lion of Judah, boy? He says, and he thinks, he puts his head down. He says, the lion must roar. You like that, buddy? This is an exciting time. Not just for Life Changes Church as a whole, but for our trust, for you as families, as parents, as business people, as kingdom people. This is a time where God can grip us, take a hold of us, and do explosive things and expensive things through our lives. I trust you believe it. We are talking about taking higher ground, and as you've all looked up, I'm assuming the slide is behind me. Boom! It's amazing. And it is a new day. It's not a better day. It's not it's just a new day in God. A promised day. A promised day in His hands, in His goodness, and in His grace. And so last week we started and we looked at the Father and we said, actually, it was radically scandalous that Jesus would say, start with this prayer, Abba, Daddy. It was just scandalous because in the Israelites, they had only ever termed God King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Sovereign King of all, and they used these big titles for Daddy. And maybe you struggle with Daddy about God. Can I be honest? I struggle at times. I have struggled at times. I don't naturally shout out Daddy. I call my own father Abe since I was 2 years old. His name is Abraham Carl Greiling van Pletsen. So I just went with Abe. I called my mom Joy. My sister's 10 years older than me. My older sister's 10 years older than me. And I just called my parents by their first name. So to me, Daddy's a bit foreign. And that's okay. But as long as deep down in my heart, I know Daddy, Father. Father to the fatherless. Father to the fatherless. You know, in the whole Old Testament, the usage of the name Father for God only happened 14 times. In the whole Old Testament, and in just the Gospels, Jesus uses it 60 times. And in this prayer, it's the first time that anyone prays to God as Daddy, as Father. It's radically scandalous. And he says, start there. But don't just say, my dad, for my moment, my promise. Say, our Father, as we gather together. And maybe you're saying it on your own in the middle of a desert, but it's still our Father. Because we are still adopted into a family that is glorious because the Father is glorious. Because the Father is good. Because He's amazing. And so we stand in this amazing time and we are looking at taking higher ground. And we're preaching through the Lord's Prayer. But it's because Rory made the statement, transitions happen. Leadership handovers and these moments happen. God brings super subs in. Not that it's super, but just a sub. into teams, into homes, into houses for more land and more glory. Not a bigger property, not a bigger building, just more inheritance, more salvations, more influence into a city where the enemy is gripping and ripping people's lives apart, that we would have greater influence, that people will come running to this place because the presence of God is here and He restores and He redeems and He makes whole and new. And more glory, well, just more of His presence, a greater knowledge. Go look at Jesus' prayers through the Bible. And you tell me if you ever find Jesus praying that they would, circumstances would change, their finances would get better. See if you can find that. I think all you'll find is Jesus saying, God, let them know you more. Let them know you deep down inside, that they would know you more. It's a radical thing. So much as my Father help my situation, my thing. And God says, and Jesus turns it all on its head and He says, our Father, our transgressions, our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Not give me my daily bread. And if my brothers, if you've got some extra left for my brother, help him out too. Give us. It's a radical thing. It's so foreign to the world of today. And then we looked at Nehemiah 3, and it should fashion everything we do as a community, as men and women and young people and old people and rich people and poor people stand in our community, stand in our city as carriers of the presence of God. And we see the walls that were broken, were destroyed, the gates that were burnt, we see them made whole, come alive again in strength. And we say, our God is greater. You with me? See, that was a bit quicker than last week, didn't you? A little bit quicker. But I'm really excited. We're going to carry on this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven. See, here's the first challenge. Our Father art in heaven and I art on earth. Profound. Anyone confused? See, R.T. Kendall says, God is in heaven, we are on earth. That is a simple but very profound fact. See, God is in heaven. What does that mean? It means He is above all other dominions. He is above all powers. He is above governmental powers of this earth. He is above any other spiritual power. Sometimes we so glorify the demonic power. Do we know how powerful our God is? Do we know? He is far above all others. That's what my Bible says. Far above all powers, all authority. So Jesus says, guys, if you want to take higher ground, if you want to step into Christian life, say, our Father who art in heaven. Start by saying, God, you're above all else. None compares. None comes even close to you. It's a radical thing. Psalms 2 verse 4 says, He that dwells in the heavens shall laugh at them when the enemies come attacking. You know what God does when the enemy comes raging? He just laughs. He just laughs. It's like Kuni Oosthuizen standing there. And a 3-year-old comes running at him. What is it? It's like, seriously? You know, we sing that song in Sunday school. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. You know you want to sing it. Whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. See, now we're having fun. He says, He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister, in His hands. He's that big. You can't get out of Him. You can't run further than He can run. You can't outrun Him. Jesus says, you see me, you see my Father, He's huge and He's in heaven. Doesn't mean He's not with us on earth, He's not here involved, but He's far above it. It's an incredible thing. And He can break into any situation at any time. Why? Because the ultimate price was paid, as Gabe spoke about. Jesus came to earth. God came to earth. So heaven touched earth that day. Heaven touched earth so that heaven can keep touching earth and keep plowing into situations and Naomi's heart. God can break in at any time. He's just that good. Our Father who art in heaven. You see, the challenge is that the church has come up with this crazy divorce. It's like our Father And it's all about intimacy. It's a drawing to intimacy. And you get the parts of the church that want to just, it's just about me and Jesus. And me and my G, we're going to sit in our room for days and days, and we're just going to enjoy the presence together. Jesus doesn't enjoy the presence. He is the presence. It's Jesus. And so we form a little camp and we stay there like Peter wanders down the mountain. And others say, well, actually, who art in heaven? God is so big and so sovereign and I am so small that I can't interact with this God. And I'm just going to camp in the sovereignty of God. And I'm going to take my Calvin and my Luther and I'm going to hold on to them. And I can do nothing because God is in control of everything. And Jesus says, both your camps, they're no camps. Our Father who art in heaven. Beautiful. The sovereign Lord, who is King and Lord over all, and I can have intimate relationship with. It is profound. Jesus is clever. So I thought it'd be good to start with something he said. And then there's this amazing line that, to be honest, I never understood. It says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? I've had it wrong for years. Just telling you. Hallowed means to sanctify the name of God, to give unto the Lord the glory due to his name, so that men may never speak of him in any other attitude than, I revere you, God. I am in awe of you, God. When last were you in awe of something? When Judah was 18 months old, we drove to go minister in Harry Smith, and he didn't say a whole lot of words in those days, way less than he does now. And we were driving, and I just heard this little voice, wow, wow, wow. And I was like, okay, wow. I said, what's wow? And he's just going, wow. And I turn around, and look, it's the first time he'd seen the Drakensberg Mountains. He'd never seen mountains. And he was in awe. He just said, wow. When last did you look at God, your Savior, your healer? See, when I look at Ben Fulcher and Etienne Fulcher, I go, wow, God. Wow. And he says, will you stay in that place? Hallowed be your name. Do we give him glory? Not just token glory or glory to God and you've said it and now carry on with your speech. But wow, God. When you get together at families at Christmas and you go, thank you, God. It might have been tough. Maybe we were on the breadline this year, but wow, God. You are faithful. You are good. See, reverence starts and finishes in the heart of man. So Jesus, before he says, say our Father, he says, don't pray like the religious people who walk around making noise. And you walk around the shopping centers and you're going, shabba, shabba, ruba, ruba, and you're doing all this stuff, which if it's in God, it's cool. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But if you're just doing it in public, Jesus said, that counts for nothing. Who were the ones who put him on the cross? It was the religious people. It was those who prayed out in the public, out in the open. Those who stood on their high things and put all the dress differently. You're not called to dress differently to the world. Dress the same. Just be different. Full of a spirit, full of love, full of power. I'm not angry this morning. I'm excited. This is me excited. Is that okay? And Jesus says, start here, and it starts and it finishes in the heart of man. Hallowed be thy name. I was going to skip over the section because I love thy kingdom come. It rocks my world and we'll get there. But hallowed be thy name. See that Jesus is saying God is to be revered. Here's the challenge. See, actually, God, we make so much of our world and our situation and so little of his. And Jesus said, I'm going to flip that on its head. I'm going to make much of his, of him, who he is, and make little of mine. Does that mean we ignore what's going on around us? No. Does that mean we don't work hard? No. It just means that's our position. Wow, God. See, we sing these songs, our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is higher. We sing higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than, but do we believe it? This is the test. Hallowed be thy name. And worship's part of our chance just to go, wow, God. Just wow. It's our chance. It's our opportunity. Not just on a Sunday, every day. When we wake up, I was in a complex in Durban. We stayed in a complex, and the body corporate had some interesting dynamics, as body corporates do. And the one lady who her and I personality wise, well, we were never going to be best mates. Put it that way. She said one day, she heard I was leaving, she said, "Oh, but I love your singing." And I just thought, "God, I sing it for you. And if that touched her, please do something amazing. I love to worship Jesus. Love singing in our house." And that's, God allows me to do that. Maybe you got other ways of worshiping. Maybe you just like being quiet with Him. That's cool, but do it. Just say, "Wow, God." And God is to be revered. And it says, He says, actually, God is to be revered. So, hallowed be your name. But what's in a name? You've got to start there before we come back to sanctify. What's in a name? When I say to you, Kubus Visa, do a whole bunch of wows come to your head? Like, wow, he has no neck. Do you get that? Sorry, that comes to my, I'm sure he's a lovely guy. If I say to you, Einstein, surely there's like a wow. Luke Skywalker. For the church, you've got to throw that in there. See, there's always one. There's always one. Mother Teresa. Guys have tried to discredit and all that. I just go, wow, Jesus. See, and you get these other things. You get James Robertson, son of Robert. Sons. They carry something. They carry the name of Jesus carries. And we get these insights throughout the Bible of the name of God. And He gives us different names for God. And you know what they are? John Piper says they're just the tip of the iceberg because we could never comprehend. And a name reveals the character of God, reveals the nature, reveals the wonder of God. And he says, they're just the tip of the iceberg. So let's look at some of the tips of the iceberg. He says, "I am who I am." That's what God says.
Yeah.
He says, I'm for all eternity. I was there in the beginning. I'll be there at the end. No one created me. I am. It's God's name. So when you're wondering if he can, he says, "I am." He says to Moses again, "I will proclaim before you my name. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." You know what? He's above all systems. He's above all protocols. He's above it all. He's just sovereign. See, I'll have grace to those enemies of justice. I'm just God. "I am," he says to Moses again, or Big Mo, gets all the attention. "I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty." Exodus 6 verse 3. He's omnipotent. And it's the guarantee of his faithfulness. He's always there. You wonder how he can speak to all of them at the same time. You wonder how he's hearing your prayers and my prayers and someone in Afghanistan's prayers. He's omnipotent. He's above it all. This is his name. This is his character. Hallowed be my name. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. He is a God full of mercy, full of love and freedom. His name, hallowed be, wow, God. Says in John, in Revelations 21, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Your story, my story, had a beginning. It was Jesus.
Yeah.
And your story and my story will have an end. Jesus."
Come on.
The beginning and the end. Are you getting the wow factor?
Yeah. It's great.
People talk about the wow factor in life. This house doesn't have the wow factor. How can a house have a wow factor when you're talking about God?
Yeah.
How can it even compare? "I am the high and lofty one whose name is holy." His very name is holy, set apart, different. His very name. "And finally, you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. There is power in the jealousy of God for your love." And our job is to respond to him. Our job is to access the power of his jealousy. You know how strong jealousy is as an emotion? Just open your eyes to the world around you. People sowing their lives into debt because of jealousy, comparison. Nations fighting each other, doing crazy things because of jealousy. And God says, stronger than all that jealousy, I have a jealousy for you and intimacy with you. Hallowed be your name. And all these things get revealed to us. That he is about freedom. He is for all eternity. He is omnipotent. He is merciful. He is the beginning and the end. He's everything. So what does it mean, hallowed be your name? See, I've prayed it. Well, God, you're all those things. So glory to you, God. All praise and all honor to you. It's not what Jesus is saying. It's not a declaration. It's a petition. It's saying, God, our Father, hallowed be who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Help me and help us to revere you. Help me and help us when the world starts to become attractive, when opportunities start opening up. You see, for these young men, Ben and Etienne, the world's going to open up. And their prayer has to be, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Help me to keep you well. Would you reveal yourself to me in such an amazing way, ongoingly, every day as I pray this prayer, not just a religious mantra? Would you stay amazing in me? Would you stay amazing in us? I think it's a challenge for the church.
Yeah.
He's telling us to ask God, who is infinitely jealous for us, for the honor of his own name. It's an amazing thing. It's not this, I've got something to give you, I'm going to give you praise. It's help me. See, and the two things is, number one, God's praise and his jealousy for his glory and his praise is a high priority. Jesus puts it right up front, way before, give us your daily bread. And where do most of the church start? Give us your daily bread. It's not popular to say, God, you're big, you're glorious. God, let your kingdom come. That's hard, that's harsh. I'm going to start. God, your will be done. No, no, no. We start. Give us our daily bread. Why am I speaking about this? Why is this a sobering word? Because we want every bit of the land and every bit of the glory that he has for us. Nothing more and nothing less. There is something I've wrestled in my life. It's called ambition. Maybe you do too. And it used to look different to what it looks now. And it used to be very much selfish. I trust way less than now, and I'm sure there's still some now. But there has to come a time when selfish ambition dies and godly ambition for his kingdom and his glory and just who he is rises. And what we do is, because we don't know how to handle selfish ambition, we squash ambition in the church. I've seen men in the church have ambitions squashed because other men don't know how to handle their ambitions. And it's not right. You are called to be ambitious, but be ambitious for our God. Be ambitious who art in heaven, for his glory, for his praise. And that we would say, God, I want to live it all. I want to be all for you, for your glory. It looks different. And the second thing, it brings us back to the place of praying in line with him, to his jealousy, and there's power in that. So what does it mean to hallow his name? The word hallow means to sanctify, to make holy. It's the same thing used for us, that he sanctifies us. As Gabe spoke, he makes us clean, he makes us holy, he's washed us, but he's already holy. So what is he saying? Hallowed be your name. We are praying, God, when we sanctify God, when we hallow your name, we treat you as holy. We say that you're amazing. We get caught up in your holiness. You get it? Hallowed be your name. We sanctify your name. We just say you're amazing. And the implication is we trust you. A father gets up, his daughter's going for her open heart surgery, and says, you know what? Whatever happens. It's the greatest theology you hear today. Probably the best preach you'll hear in the next couple of years, if you heard it. When a father stands on the goodness of God. Can we turn to Numbers 20, please? If you don't know where Numbers is, it's near the front of your Bible. Don't want to make assumptions. It's about 1/5 into the Bible. It's page 129 on mine. If that helps. Keep turning, Quinton. Y'all come this way. Okay. So we're talking about Moses, who God had already, you've heard all the scriptures about Moses. He's revealed his name, his glory to Moses. He's been leading God's people through the trials. He took them away from Pharaoh, all those plagues. You remember the plagues, the frogs and all those cool things. He's done and seen amazing things. He's walked with them for 40 years. This is the 40th year. He didn't know, but this was the last year of their journey through the desert. And he'd led them. He dealt with their mumbling and their grumbling. This is the guy God had spoken to. So we're going to start at verse 1. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin. And they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." It's like our teenagers coming, "There is no Steers, there is no Burger King, and there's no Coke in the whole of Tableview. Why did you bring us here?" Moses and Aaron went from the assembly and to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. He went to the place he knew, where God broke in and God revealed his goodness, on his knees saying, "God, you are amazing." And he fell down before God. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he'd commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring out water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice, and with his staff, water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But, it's always a thing when there's a but in the Bible. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I will give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where he showed himself holy, where he showed himself holy among them. This is a radical, radical scripture. It's just a radical scripture. Moses, this amazing man. Moses, this leader of God's people. Moses, this man who struggled to speak and God still used him. Moses, this man who, this wasn't the first time God had said, "Use your staff." God had said, "Put your staff over the Nile and the water will turn into blood." And it did. This is Moses. This is Moses from Hebrews 11. A great man of faith who didn't take his heritage from the Pharaoh's house. He took his heritage as a son of God. This is still Moses. See, and in verse 8 we get this thing. He's told to use his staff. Incredibly faithful previously, God had used this. He knew what it was on about. But this time he was merely to speak to the rock. See, we have to listen to God for today. If we want to take higher ground, don't listen for yesterday. When you pray for people, when you stand in front of broken situations and broken walls in the city, don't say, "God, how did you do it 5 years ago?" I love hanging out with Wally because his testimonies of salvation and grace of God flowing are not from 17 years ago. Yeah. They're from 17 minutes ago. I love that. It refreshes my soul. We have to listen to God, and the challenges that faith is totally different to presumption and assumption. Completely different. I've done it myself. I've seen people do it, and I've seen churches do it, living in presumption. We are going to do this, and God will be with us. That is not "hallowed be thy name." That is, "God, you are my lapdog, and you will do what I say. God, you will heal." Do I believe God's will is to heal? Yes. But I leave it with him. And I come humbly before him. I say, "God, you're good. You sent your son to die on a cross. And you said healing is made complete. And I come as a son, not a beggar." But I've seen men stand in pulpits and proclaim 96, 97% healing things. And God will do this if you do this. And I think, "God, please take me out of here. Get me out of here." Just being honest. It's good to be honest in church. And it's verse 10. Moses, in a rage, says, "Listen, you rebels." It's an incredible way to speak to God's people. See, God knew who they were. He himself, through his prophet, had spoken them about as a prostitute out there working their ways to the nations of this world, giving themselves to the world. He'd seen their rebellion. He'd seen when the food didn't come what they thought. It wasn't McDonald's, it was manna, and they got a bit grumpy. He'd seen everything. And Moses, who hears from God, comes straight out of the presence of the Almighty God and says, "You rebels." It's a radical thing in the Old Testament. Just see the Israelites, you see the chosen people of God, but in the New Testament, he speaks about the bride. You know how I know if someone loves me? Is when I go away, that man phones my wife and says, "Are you okay? Are your kids okay? Can we help?" See, if they love my wife, they love me.
That's brilliant.
So you say, "My God, and I love Jesus, but the church must get lost because I've been hurt." Well, join the club. We've all been hurt. 20 years in Glenridge, I got radically hurt at times. And I go back to the source on my knees and I say, "God, you're still God. And this is still your bride." And he speaks to the bride. He speaks to the church. He says, "You rebels." I've seen leaders do it. Can I be honest? I've been tempted to do it and I've probably done it at times. The same guy comes. "I've messed up this way, messed up this way, messed up." I said, "When are you going to get it, bud? When are you just..." My natural disposition, I'm not as gracious as Wally. I look at Wally and say, "God, make me more like you," as what I see in Wally. I'm not joking at all. I'm being honest. I wish when someone cut me off in the traffic, something didn't rise inside of me saying, "I'm gonna go." I wish it didn't. And so I keep coming back to the sweet spot, to the presence of God, and humbling myself, saying, "God, hallowed be your name." That's mine. And I come back to that place, and God deals with my rage. See, anger is not the problem, it's what we do with it. And Moses comes after all this, and was he justified? He was completely justified. Dealing with their mumbling and their grumbling and their moaning. 39 years he'd led them. He says, "You rebels." And then the craziness happens and the rage, and instead of speaking to the rock, he takes a staff and he smacks it. One, two. And the water gushes and the people go, "God is good and Moses is amazing. Thank you for the water." And God's heart breaks because God has been dishonored. This rage grips him and he goes against what the holy and awesome God in his presence, and he disobeys God's instruction. Again, I've done it. You've probably done it. 5 years of parenting, I'm sure there was a moment I shouted at my kids louder than I had to. Out of embarrassment, out of tiredness, I'm sure there was a moment. I know there was. "No, buddy, go sit down, please." And God grips us and he says, "See, Jesus, full of grace, full of truth." Not grace, truth, this moment, and the next time my kid's naughty, well, a whole lot of truth and a little less grace. No, grace and truth. So what happens here? Moses' action reveals this thing, a lack of trust in God. He didn't trust God. Maybe if I just spoke, it wouldn't happen. So I'm just going to club that rock and maybe that'll help the rock break and water come from a rock. We do that all the time. God, so what is faith without hints is dead works. We know that. So I got to go on Facebook and I got to throw it out there. Don't look at me so seriously. We've seen it on Facebook. Just, "I'm trusting God so much for this and I'm just going to tell the world." And if you've done that, it's fine. Be free. But there has to be a moment where we come before God and say, "God, do I trust you?" Just being honest. Love Facebook. And it says, God's, and what happened at the rock says, God's very holiness was offended by Moses' rage and anger. Moses offends God by his rage, the way he speaks to his people. And we get this radical scripture in verse 12. "But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight, to sanctify me, to hallow my name, you will not bring this community into the land I will give them. See, God's gracious, he still gives the water, but what about Moses? Water comes, and the stinging word from God says, you didn't believe in me, you didn't sanctify me, you didn't hallow my name, Moses. Yes, you've got a track record. Yes, you've got faithfulness. Yes, you've got a history. Yes, life changes, you've got a history. Yes, you've got breakthrough. You've got all these things, but will you hallow my name today,
yeah,
and tomorrow and Tuesday? And as Naomi goes into that wall, will you hallow my name? And when she comes out, will you hallow my name? It's that real. And it's these words, you did not believe in me, Moses, after everything. See, we have been made holy so we can be like him, holy. I mean, John said, in 1 John it says, if you do not believe in, if he who does not believe God has made him a liar. When we do not believe God as sons, we make God a liar. So radical. I know this is a sobering word. I would love to bring a light and fluffy word, but this is what God revealed. And there are two major implications as I land for us. The first one is Moses. Amazing Moses. Faithful Moses. Moses didn't enter the land. And we read that and we think, poor Moses. If this is about more land and more glory in my marriage and your marriage and our togetherness, in our influence together, we have to get to this word and say, God, hallowed be your name. More awesome, more glorious. And my situations become small as your reality becomes big in my life. It's incredible. But you know what struck me off my chair while I was preparing yesterday? Is this thing. God said to Moses and Aaron, you will not enter the land. Why Aaron? It wasn't Aaron who struck the rock. It's a radical thing. That our hallowing his name has impact on those around us. Leaders in this community has impact on those. Fathers, you have impact on your family. As you choose to hallow or to not hallow, to make holy or to not make holy, to strike the rock or to speak to the rock. It's a radical thing. Aaron, his faithful partner, never entered the land. There are implications. So what about taking higher grounds? Well, we come, our Father, we have adopted by this love. Together we come to a glorious Father who is not limited in his ability. In heaven, you are far above. Your dominion is above. You are in control of all. It's your kingdom. It's your authority. Hallowed be your name. Help me and help us. Believe your word. Hold on. Trust. See, here's the thing. He didn't enter that promised land. It's a sobering word. But transition, more land, more glory. We got to remember that Moses was the guy. God, show us your glory. He's that guy. Same guy. And so there is land, there is promises for us together, and there's promises for your marriage and your future and your kids in his heart. And us hallowing his name is, God, I believe you. I make you holy in my life, far above all others. And I trust you and I believe you. See, it boiled down to this thing for Moses. He didn't trust God. So who are we, life changers? We are sons and daughters. We are brothers and sisters. We are in awe of an amazing God. And we are those who stand in faith and believe and trust him. That's who we are. Can we stand together? We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Is that good? And allow God to minister. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive theirs who trespass. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Just as we stand, it's quite a thing to submit to God. It's quite a thing to trust him. I had a man phone me this week. He's been trusting God for a baby for years and wrestling because he knows the goodness of God, but just wrestling. He phoned me this week. He said, God's against all odds, without medication, without natural realities, fallen pregnant. And I just say, God, how can I not trust you? How can I not trust you? How can I not know that you are good? And I don't want to call you to an emotional response, but there has to be a decision. There has to be a decision. I will trust God. And you know what? The church live with a trust deficit. We come to churches on Sunday, we tip God, and we move on. We take care of the rest ourselves. It's just, there's a lot of that done in my own life. But there has to be a decision. God, I will trust you. God, for 39 years, 40 years, and 70 years, I'll trust you. Whether the storm rages now or it's perfect and sunny today, I'll trust you. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful. Blessed be your name. You give and take away. It's just God. Can we bow our heads? This is not a salvation call just yet. This is a sons saying, Father, I trust you. This is daughters saying, God, I hand my kids over to you. Not, I'm not going to parent them. I'll just hand them over. This is businessmen saying, God, I'm not going to check my bank account statement 7 times a day out of fear that something's happened. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust the timing. I'm going to trust your goodness. I'm just going to trust you because it affects our taking the land. Because next to you is an Aaron. It might be your wife. It might be a friend. You might not even know them. But next to you is an Aaron who needs to enter the land. Can we close our eyes together? And if you say, God, actually, there's a higher ground in my trusting. There's a higher ground in my believing. Will you join with me and put your hands up in response to him? I'm just going to pray for us together. Just, Father, you know our hearts. You know our longing for you. You know when we are weak and when we are strong. I pray you see every hand today. And I pray you shift the dynamics of our thinking, shift the dynamics of our hearts to trust you, that our first response is to trust, that our first response is to believe. Lord, right now, with every hand raised here in this place, I speak silence to the deceiver that would sow deceit, that would sow lies, that would sow smallness, that would keep believers in smaller space than the salvation that you have called them to. I silence that voice now. Those who are going through trials, I speak courage, I speak strength, and I speak the goodness of the living God to go. Silence the voice, the lies now, God. And I pray your voice, as you spoke to Moses, your voice would be loud to every son and every daughter, God. We worship an amazing God. Can we just together say, wow, God. Wow, Father. Wow, Father. We're amazed at you, God. Just while we're standing, if there's anyone here, you haven't given your life to God. There's something in you that's crying, wow, but you can't say it. We've all had to make a decision somewhere. I'd love to pray for you that you would receive the grace and the goodness of Jesus today. Don't miss this opportunity. Can you lift your hand? Can you wave at me quickly if that's you? You say, actually, this God, thank you, Jesus. There's one lady, two ladies. If there's someone else, won't you lift your hands? Thank you. I think there's someone at the back there. Won't you just gather around? Bueno, won't you turn around? Lord, we celebrate now. Can we give a clap like we did for this? Just thank you, God. This amazing couple in front of you are going to pray for you. They're going to love you, and they're going to take you for coffee. Jesus, thank you for life changes. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your goodness. Bless everyone here. Protect the single ladies. Breathe life into businesses that are struggling. Just your goodness and your grace, God. Amen.